So we're going to talk about growing in truth this morning. And if you're going to grow, you've got to learn to trust the truth. You got to trust the truth. Last week, we talked about our thoughts and get dismantling those thoughts through a progression of applying the truth to your life and getting rid of those thoughts. And sometimes we are controlled by those thoughts in such a powerful way that we can't think anything other than what we've already predisposed ourselves toward, and God has to dismantle that. We talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we're renewed by the transforming of our mind through the Word of God. Because some of us have stinking thinking. You ever had any stinking thinking? Yeah. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Did you hear that? Who takes captive? You and I do. There's a part that we play in changing the process of what's going on in our thoughts. You and I have to recognize bad thinking. And when we recognize bad thinking, it's our responsibility to take it captive. And how do we take it captive? You take it captive by pronouncing the truth of God's word over it. Well, how does that work, Pastor Larry? Well, when I say to myself, Larry, you are just one dummy. Have you ever said that to yourself? Don't admit it. You just one dumb. You have to come back. You know, the scripture says I have the mind of Christ. The scripture says that if I lack wisdom, God's going to grant me wisdom. Not just grant it, but the scripture says he liberally throws it on you. I'll take some of that wisdom. Amen? But the key is what? Asking. So there's some process that you and I have to do. In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about the truth and how some people were saying Jesus was of the devil. And look what he says. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? You know, you've always said, if you had ever had kids, you know that experience. Could you not hear me? Have you ever said that? No. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any one of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm trying to walk and talk and do this at the same time, and it's not working too good. Where'd I leave off? Oh, read it to me. Catch that last line. What did he say? The reason you do not hear me is that you do not belong to God. Whew. We're going to pretend this fire right here is a lie. Okay? Just think about it for a moment. Here's the truth. God is a good father. God is a good father. And if you love the Heavenly Father, you will love Jesus. You can't say, I don't like the Father and not love His Son. I mean, you got to love the Father and you love the Son. That's what Jesus said. Jesus came from the Father. Jesus was sent by the Father. And there is a relationship with Jesus leads you into a relationship with the Father. Our relationship with will be determined by a reception of. In other words, my relationship with my wife is really determined on my reception of her, my accepting of who she is and how God made her and designed her with all of her quirks. And you all know my wife has less quirks than me. Do you understand that? But here's the deal. When you receive that, you know. And to receive Jesus is to know him. And to receive Jesus to know him is to know the love of the Father. You with me? It takes a relationship. Our relationship with the Father will determine our reception of Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus will determine our reception of truth. In other words, if you love Jesus, you're going to love the truth. Why? Because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you love Jesus, you're going to love the truth even when it hurts. So we live in a world of misconceptions. People have their own idea. For example, there are many roads to truth. No, there's not. There's not many roads to truth. You can't... Now listen, how many of you have done a wrong thing and realized it was wrong and you realized the truth because you did a dumb thing? Yeah. Don't try to equate that with truth. That was stupidity. Amen? And when you woke up, it's kind of like the prodigal son who finds himself in the pigsty, and the scripture says, and he woke up with the right mind. All of his doing was no good. All of his doing was not truth. But one day he came to the realization of what he was losing. Amen? Yeah. We have a lot of miscommunications. Because here's the truth. Not all roads lead to truth. There's only one truth that brings salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. How about that? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. How many mediators? One, and that man is Christ Jesus. Well, that's what the scripture says, Larry, Pastor Larry. Well, look at it from the words of Jesus. I know it's the next slide, I think. Yeah. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. There can't be multiple ways. Because if there's multiple ways, that means Jesus is a liar. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Misconceptions. Another misconception is what's true for you is not true for me. Don't we live in that world? Huh? Yeah. Truth then becomes subjective. Truth is in the eye of the beholder. Different strokes for different folks. You have your beliefs, I have mine, and that's the end of it. No, I'm sorry. Just because you deny something doesn't mean it's not true. To be a relativist means that a belief, idea, a proposition, a claim is never true or false, good or bad or right or wrong. Absolutely. You know, there may be parts of it. No. Listen, a wrong is always wrong. A lie is always a lie. Do you hear me? Yeah. So I need a volunteer, and I picked Michael. Come up here, Michael.
It's on, there it is.
Yeah, it is. This is Michael Newsom. He is a grad student at FSU and a reserve.
The Marine Corps.
In the what?
The Marine Corps.
Marine Corps. So you got in the Marines, you do this thing called hooah. What? How do you do that?
No, I don't do that. That's the Army.
Oh, you don't do that.
That's Mike.
That's the Army.
At. Yeah.
What's the Marines do?
Oorah.
What is that?
Ooh.
What?
Like O-O-R-A-H. Oorah, not hoorah.
Oh.
It's better.
See, I'm learning truth right now. And what does that mean?
I don't know.
So just, why do you say it?
It's motivating, I guess.
Is it? You don't sound very motivated. Are you worried?
No.
No?
No.
I like that. So here, he's the relative. I'm the truth guy. And here, for me, fire is hot.
It's not.
What?
It's not hot. It's just like a mindset.
It's all in my mind that fire is hot.
Yeah, it's all in my mind that it's not hot.
Really?
Yeah. Water's not cold.
So no matter how much he believes that the fire is not hot, how many know it's still hot?
That's right.
No.
Oh, it's only hot if you
touch it.
So he can declare that it's not hot as long as... And therefore, his reality is very true until reality sets in. Do you understand that? And no matter how much he says, it's not hot, it's not hot, it's not hot, it's not hot, it's not hot. When reality sets in and he touches that, it's hot. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, here, Michael, I want you to do something here. Would you carry that around a minute?
You just want me to walk around?
Just walk around. So isn't it amazing? You can carry a lie around, and it's never going to bother you. How many know one day the reality of the lie will catch up to you? Just the reality of touching fire will catch up to you. You can carry that around all day long, and it's, I'm okay, you're okay. But the reality is the lie eventually will catch up to you. You know what I think is also amazing? That lie, because we're pretending that the lie is a fire, that you know there are parts of that wax right there, that little melted part right there? It's so warm and cozy. And fire, the lie can make you warm and cozy. Yeah. You know, it's a flame. Michael, could you just do a somersault right now with that? Okay, here.
I can do a push-up.
Huh?
I could do a push-up.
You could do a push-up?
I think so.
Holding the fire?
Yeah.
Anybody want to see that? I want to see this. What are you? Wait. What are you so tentative about? You don't look like you have much freedom.
I think I can do that.
I don't know if this is a proper push-up. Your hands are not properly placed. Oh! Man alive, the Marine messed up the illustration. Huh? We're having way too much fun in church. So here, now, since you did that, I need to, I'll hold this while you do a jumping jack.
Okay.
You only did one.
I did eight.
Isn't it amazing what we try to do? And this is the amazing thing about a lie. Sometimes we set it aside so we can go do something and be okay. And then we want to pick it up again because we built our life around it. And it's so warm and cozy. You Can I tell you, sometimes we play games with God that way.
Yeah.
We leave our lie here at the altar. Mr. Carpet, Mrs. Carpet Warrior is right over here. Did you see that spill? Well, I didn't, so that doesn't mean that it spilt. We live in that kind of world, you know, when people are denying the truth all around for their own convenience of the flesh. But can I tell you, the fire of truth will burn. Because truth is in the personhood of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that wax didn't hit me. Because things that even are close to the fire are hot. Maybe that's why there's a rage in your heart. Maybe that's why you can't control your thoughts the way you ought to. Because you're living a lie. Or you have a relationship with a lie. You don't want to give up because you've lived with it for so long. Aren't you glad for the truth that sets you free? Huh? Can I just encourage you to do this? Walk away from the lie. Amen? Here's the thing that we want to do. You know, God just wants to make, he's not interested in your free. He wants to bind you up. And we always talk about God just restricting us and thou shalt nots and thou shalt nots. But the truth of the matter is the lie will hinder your freedom more than anything else. God came to set us free. Amen? To give us abundant life. And you want to carry around that lie? You know what that means? You can't be free. Just like Michael, he could have tried to do a jumping jack with that. And then the wax wouldn't have been on the carpet. It'd been in his head. On his head, I should say. There may be wax up there too, but. Hey, listen. Be careful. Be careful. Do away with. Do away with the lie. Live for the truth. Would you give Michael a hand, please? Thank you, Michael. The truth sets you free. Carrying the lie blocks, hinders truth from enlarging your capacity to grow in God. If you do not, this is what Jesus said, if you do not belong to Jesus, you struggle with what he says. God really didn't mean that. No, when God says something, he means it. And when you are in relationship with him, you understand that and you will heed what he says. Because you love him. Amen. Here's the difference between Christianity and a lot of other religions out there. Other religions are based on law, right? Law, you got to do the law. If you talk to a Muslim, they got to do the law. 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 Can I tell you, Christianity is not do the law. Christianity is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's a world of difference between loving one another and doing it by the book. Now, here's the difference. Yes, there are things that Christians should and should not do. Somebody say amen. Why? We don't do them because we love him and we bear his name and we don't want to misrepresent the God who has saved us, redeemed us, and loved us so profoundly that it's transformed our lives. So now we're not living a lie or in the law. We're living in a relationship with God the Creator. And we do for him because we love him. Amen? Yeah. It's not. So if it's hard for you to receive the truth, you don't have a relationship with the truth. That's what Jesus says in this passage of Scripture. You have not totally surrendered to the truth. And there's a good possibility, as Jesus said, you belong to the father of lies, the devil. Yeah. You see, when you carry out the devil's desires, you don't hold on to the truth. Truth for you is selective. It's an occasional thing you pick up and you put down. No, we are people of the truth because he is truth. Amen? That's why when the word of God confronts me, confronts my lie, confronts my thought that's not right, confronts the way I've been living in selective activity, when it confronts that, I must submit myself to the truth, repent of the Lord, repent before him, and ask him to be empowered to live what he has revealed. Sometimes we just repent and we just go about our business. Can I tell you, you can't do it on your own. You got to have the Spirit of truth to help you walk in truth. Amen? Jesus tells the truth. And with the truth, there's always a decision. Am I going to do the truth or am I going to do this? And we have this idea that if we don't do the truth, we can kind of halfway hit it. How many of you strike? It's always a strike. Well, it depends on the umpire, doesn't it? But God's the umpire and the truth teller. And therefore, the truth, the strike, is always a strike. Amen? Yeah. You can't reject the truth that's revealed in the Word of God. Oh, you can, or you can trust Jesus with the truth, live the truth, and watch the blessings of God fall on your life. And I'm going to tell you that living out the truth has blessings. Aren't you glad of that? Glory to God. If not, we'd all be robbing banks tomorrow. Who said amen on that? There's blessings in serving God. You see, faith grows when truth is received. Look, Mark chapter 6. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor except is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, in his own home. He could not, that's Jesus, could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. You see, because they wouldn't receive him, he couldn't do. They wouldn't receive the truth. It hindered truth from healing. That's why it's very important that you and I take a position by faith. We know that when Jesus speaks, it's truth. And when you receive his truth, there's healing for every part of your life in that truth. Living it out, talking it out, and thinking it out, there is healing for your life. Glory to God. Jesus says, the devil, belonging to the devil means, number one, you carry out his desires. What does that mean? They wanted to kill Jesus. These guys that were in front of him wanted to kill Jesus. And Jesus puts them on the carpet. Hey, I know what you're doing. The devil wanted to kill me from the beginning. He couldn't. Now you're trying to. You're trying to carry it out. Because the devil was a murderer from the beginning. How many of you know that devil doesn't come out with just a knife to kill you? He comes out with the truth to manipulate it, to get you to believe a lie. Like Eve in the garden. Did God really say? See what he's doing? He's attacking the truth. That's why you and I have to be people of the truth. The enemy doesn't believe in the truth. He takes it up long enough to twist it, to mold it, Matter of fact, the Bible says this, the devil masquerades as the angel of light. And the only way to understand that masquerade is what? To know the truth. Huh? Who has some money, currency? Anybody got any money? $20 bill, $10 bill, $5 bill, anybody? Anybody got any money? You guys are the poorest people I know. You got some? Thank you, Miss Ard. How you doing? Look at here, man. It's a dollar! Huh? How do you know counterfeit? You study the truth. That's how counterfeiters recognize counterfeit money. They study the truth. They examine the bills. They know the bills from one corner to the other. Every word, every mark, every image, they know it because they've studied every image on the bill. Can I tell you, you will not know error unless you're diligent about knowing the truth. Amen. Thank you very much for the offering. Thank you very much. My wife doesn't let me carry money. Why do we find it hard to believe the truth? Because we're at home in the world's domain, the devil's domain. This world belongs to him. And you need to be careful because you understand this world's philosophies, this world's principles are all built upon a lie. That's why the Bible says, store up for yourselves things in heaven. Huh? In John 14, 17, it says this, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. How's the Spirit of truth in us? The Spirit of truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us because we have received the gift of God's Son into our lives. And when you receive the gift of God's Son, the truth is you repented of the lie, you repented of your sins, and you've received him, and God received you, and he stamped on you and gave you a deposit of eternity called the Holy Spirit of heaven. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in us to help us discern truth, know truth, live truth, to seek out truth and dispel the lies that have been deposited in our lives. Now, the danger is when we're Christians and we want to carry the lies with us. You know what the Bible calls that? Hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You can't live in two worlds. Amen? Oh, you can, but the end was what? The fire will catch you. The fire will catch you. Whoever belongs to the Father, whoever belongs to the Father, whoever belongs to the Father hears, receives what the Father says in Jesus and his word. Here's what I know. The sky is blue. The sky is blue. It doesn't matter how many clouds are out there. I know the sky is blue. And someone said to me, one of the smart kids in our, well, you know, typically if you're out in outer space, the sky's not blue. There's always one. And I said that to take care of the rest of you. The truth of the matter is this, the sky is always blue. The truth is always the truth. I don't care how many clouds roll in your world. I don't care how many things the enemy wants to throw at you. The sky is always blue. The truth of God's word is a constant and forever thing. There's one thing that Jesus said about his word, and it's quite amazing. Every jot, every tittle will come to pass. That means every exclamation point, every period, everything is going to come to pass. And it's important that you embrace Jesus, embrace his truth, so that in the last day, you're going to be happy with the place he's prepared for you. Amen? It's an awesome thing. I need the worship team to come back here. Because here's what we know. Truth is eternal because it's him. Truth produces trust. Growing in truth increases your trust ability in God. Trusting God. Isn't that what faith is all about? I trust God with the unknown. I trust God with what I don't know. I trust God with the people he puts in my life. I trust God. It doesn't mean that I'm just gullible and what I know the truth and I'm able to discern, but I trust God with what he's doing and what he's going to do. Even though I don't see tomorrow, I know he's at work in my behalf because I belong to him and he belongs to me. Hallelujah. There's great hope in him, Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, through belief in the truth. Through belief in the truth. You see, truth gives us hope beyond where we are. Aren't you glad this is not the end? Aren't you glad this is not all there is? Well, how do you know that, Pat? How do you know this is not all there is? Because the word of the Lord tells us a few things about tomorrow that's better than today. Glory to God. There's great hope in faith that though the mountains cave and fall into the sea, there is a God in heaven who's going to take care of you and me. Glory to God. Not only that, he's already prepared the place for us. And there's a great translating about to happen. Amen. In Psalm 25, verse 5, it's one of my favorite psalms. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope, my trust is in you all day long. All day long. Stand with me, would you? To trust him. To trust him. That's what truth is all about. Pursuing truth means you trust him. It means you're willing not only to acknowledge the lie, but to leave it. To walk away from it. To never let that be again. Because you are a truth preserver and pursuer. You love the truth because you love Jesus. And you know he loves you. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know, have a relationship with Jesus. And you want to begin with Jesus today. Maybe you believe the lie. It doesn't really matter what the lie was or is. I'm here to tell you Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to get to the Father who created everything on heaven and earth and your life is to know Jesus. And the Bible makes it very clear that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's by grace through faith in him.